welcome to Coming Off the Reels. My name is Drew Martin.
I'm Ryan Vinson.
And I'm Sean McClain.
And on today's episode, we're going to talk about a couple of films that we've watched recently. The new Borat film, Borat subsequent movie film.
And then it's got like a bunch of long subtitles after it too.
And then the horror film, The Lodge, which came out at the beginning of the year, but then kind of got lost in all of the pandemic shuffle. So let's talk about Borat first. Ryan, you and I, many years ago, saw the first one in the theater.
And correct.
We were definitely aching from laughter. Oh, yes. What did you think of the sequel?
Now, I will say I was very excited when I heard of its release because it was a very big surprise, I think, for everybody.
Yeah.
It was just kind of out of nowhere. They're like, oh, Amazon's going to release Borat 2. And I was like, oh, that's good stuff. I'm very excited for this. I actually ended up really liking it. And I had mentioned before that, well, I think off mic I had mentioned that it's a little more scripted than the first one. But, I mean, it is what it is. Of course, people are going to know who Borat is. So he's not going to have the accessibility to do as many of the pranks as he did in the first one. But I still thought it was great. I really did.
Which they kind of address that, too, at the beginning, like, when he first comes back over to America, and he's running away from people. He's like, hey, it's Borat. So
high five. Sure.
Exactly, yeah. So that was cool that they referenced that. But I don't want to step on your toes if you want to keep going with all the things that you liked about it or found
particularly
fetching.
Oh, no, go ahead. Go right ahead.
Look, I like Borat, the first one. But with Borat, and you know, like, I like my dick and fart jokes and, like, all those movies and, like, all the crude humor and everything like that. But, like,
I didn't know that.
I am. I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. So, Borat is, like, my ceiling as far as those movies go. Because a lot of times it's solely reliant upon, like, the gross-out, crass, dick fart, like humor. Like, that's the main driving force of it. And, like, kind of that shock value kind of humor. Some of it works, and some of it kind of, you kind of cringe a little bit. You're like, ugh, I don't know if I'll like this as much. But that being said, I'm like, I didn't hate it, but it just, I don't know that it did enough to, like, differentiate itself from the first one. Like, it just felt kind of like the same rehashing of jokes and things like that. Definitely was a lot more political than the first Borat was. And they seemed to really drive home, you know, and really stick it to, like, Trump and, like, Trumpism and, like, all of the, you know, kind of ludicrous things that we've seen as far as, like, his followers and all the people that blindly support him. They really, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen really took them to task in this one.
I actually tend to agree a lot more with Ryan on this one than with Sean. Like, I thought this one, like, I really wasn't expecting much from it because I kind of went in with Sean's mentality of, okay, this is going to be the exact same movie. And I thought that they took it in a much different direction. And they took a lot of the focus away from him and placed it on his fictitious daughter in this. So I felt like this addressed a lot of, like, you know, women's rights issues while also making fun of, like, the Trumpers and things like that and, like, their love of conspiracy theories. So I thought all of that was very entertaining. And yeah, like, the biggest scene right now is the Rudy Giuliani scene, and that was actually just kind of fine, but it wasn't, you
right.
know,
it really did, yeah. To me, it really did feel just skillfully edited. I don't know that he was doing anything wrong, but I tend to agree with you again with you, but I like that it did take kind of in the end a feminist tone that I did not expect. And I did not think it was a rehashing of fart and dick jokes. I mean, nowadays it's hard to tiptoe around political incorrectness, and I thought he did it in a way that was still funny for 2020.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much of the original Borat would fly nowadays, and I have not rewatched it all that recently, but I thought a lot of the jokes that he did, I was like, ooh, I can't believe he said that.
Yeah.
Well, but still, I was laughing.
Like, the whole exchange when she's swallowed the little toy baby.
Yeah.
And they're at, they believe they're at, like, it's not a Planned Parenthood. It's one of those places that talks, it's a religious place that talks you out of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, her, like, trying to explain that her, you know, father put a baby in her. And I thought that whole exchange was pretty entertaining. And even, like, that minister or preacher or whatever man of God that he was, like, him, like, thinking that this is a case of incest and him thinking, like, well, that's what God wanted. And it's right. Like, okay.
But then you get, like, then you get the ones where Borat takes his daughter to, like, the debutante ball and, you know, she's on her period, and then she does this dance where she, like, basically lifts up her skirt, and, like, you see just pools of blood.
Yeah,
and
we,
like,
call that the Dumb and Dumber moment.
Right, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's that's the kind of stuff that's, like, that gross out humor that I'm like, oh. I'm like, I understand
but I didn't feel
what
like, I didn't feel like there was a ton of that, though.
There was a good
portion. That's really, I think that one is probably the high watermark of it, though.
I feel like they hammered a lot of women aren't allowed to do anything, so at the end of the film they could come back and be like, that's a stupid ideology to have.
Yeah, even like, the idea of, like, these debutante balls, these coming out balls into society where their father presents these women to the world. Like, I thought that whole thing was kind of meant to just throw that weird archaic tradition.
Oh, no, sure. Yeah, no, it definitely shed light on, you know, like you said, archaic kind of, you know, old school mentality of, you know, women are to be seen and not heard kind of things, and, like, parading their young daughters around. But I don't know, like, you get that, and then, like I said, I think you kind of finish it off with the gross out humor of, you know, her having, like, a full-on period and, like, dancing and throwing.
Okay, but can we talk about, though, that, like, the funny parts, like, when he is, you know, he befriends those hillbilly guys.
Oh, yeah.
And when
yeah.
they go to the concert and he's, like, singing the song. And the way that, like, he's saying things that he knows are, like incredibly
totally
xenophobic
yeah.
and, like, incendiary. Yeah. And everybody just loves it. Like, yeah!
It was, like, burn them like the Saudis or something like
yeah,
that.
Like, yeah.
You're like, oh, man. And that's also scary, too, because there is a large population that was feeding off that were just consuming all of this hate and
correct.
Vitriol.
And that's what, like, I think is, like, smart about his humor is that, like any interviews with him, like, he is wildly progressive and open to anybody and just uses these nonsense things to point out that, you know, ideas that we believe are, like, kind of outdated, like, mentalities that people may have that we think don't exist. He shows, like, oh yes, they do exist. And he did this in the last one, which was more attacking, like, the Bush era
mm-hmm.
of this country. And he was, you know, showing that there are still lots of, like, racist people then and overly patriotic for no good reason people then. And I don't know. I like it. Stirring up shit, and that's okay with me.
Going back to the, you know, the pro-feminine, like, themes that he had, I did really like when Borat dropped off his daughter to the woman who was, like, kind of the babysitter or the somebody to watch over his daughter.
Yeah.
Like, he pulls out, like, the kettlebell and the chain and everything like that. And
yeah, that was pretty funny, yeah.
But then, like, that woman, like, really, I thought, was a lot of the heart and soul of the movie. And, like, I liked her message when she was, like, trying to empower and, you know, help his daughter out and saying, like, no, you don't have to do this. You don't have to get a boob job to go impress Mike Pence. Like, you don't have to do all of this.
She thinks.
Right? But it's like, you don't have to change or alter your appearance just because a man says so, because your father says so, because you've like external forces, like you're beautiful just the way you are. And I thought that was a really good message, and like yeah. I thought it was really cool like how they included that in there.
But then we also appreciate that he did manage to get into a Pence rally dressed as Trump.
And it was that makeup job was amazing.
I'm like, just saying, well done for working your way into that room. So
yeah, exactly. I did laugh at the end when they had the running of the Americans instead of
it was Karen,
and then she had like the gun in her hand, and then like she's gonna cough, and they spit out like the green mucus slime everywhere. Like, here comes Dr. Fauci. He's got the cure. Oh, no, Karen and the American are going after him. And they, like, kick him and, like, cough on him and, like, shoot him. And it's like, unfortunately, that's...
yeah, right.
That's real. Yeah, that's I'm sure there's people that probably would have loved to see that. So,
For what it was, I was pretty happy with it. And
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, like...
For me, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, like I said, I didn't hate it. And I think the political like satire that he did was very effective, but you know, like I said, with that gross out dick and fart humor, like Borat's kind of my ceiling with that. Cause I don't know. Sometimes
so maybe there wasn't enough of it for you.
Right. I could have used just 90 whole minutes of just dicks, just bunch of dicks everywhere. Please. That's what I'm missing.
More dicks. I always say that in every movie I see.
I'm going to tweet.
I know, that's weird, but like, we're watching.
I've had one
like,
critique.
Finding Nemo, and Ryan's like, "I wish there were more dicks in Finding Nemo."
I need some fish dicks in this. Yep. There's just a distinct lack of it in here.
Yep.
So,
true that.
all right. So let's move on. Ryan, when last we spoke, you had told us like some movies that you had watched, and we were like, "Oh yeah, that's one." And so Sean and I decided to watch it. Do you remember the plot of The Lodge well enough that you could give a synopsis?
I had the synopsis up earlier, and then I had to close everything because my cast wasn't working correctly. But I'll give it a shot if you'd like.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, I don't remember any of the characters' names, though, so can you help me out there? Like
Aiden? Aiden was the
who's the name of the What's the name of the dad? What's the name of the dad? That's probably the most important part to start.
Richard.
Okay. So Richard and his wife, early in the film, are getting a divorce. And I actually did not know until just today that his wife was played by Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah.
I did not even recognize her.
Yeah.
So the film starts with him saying, hey, we need to finalize the divorce because I'm going to marry this other girl.
Grace.
And then, like, the very next scene is Alicia Silverstone killing herself at the dinner table. Which is a very jarring sequence.
Yes.
By the way. So then it's a lot of the dad and his children, Aiden and...
Mia.
That's right. Yep.
And they're talking a lot about their dad's relationship with the new girlfriend. And they say that they're all going to have Thanksgiving together? Christmas. And a out-of-town cabin that they own in snowy Maine.
Yeah. Snowy Vermont. Someplace.
Yeah.
Somewhere
it was remote.
In the
yeah, very remote. Yes.
And, oh, yeah, I also forgot that the new girlfriend, she used to be part of a cult.
Right. The lone correct? Survivor of a cult.
Right. Yeah, everyone that her dad, cult. That her dad was the...
Yes.
What do you call the guy who the headmasters leader. A cult?
Yep.
What do you call that guy? The headmaster?
I just always called them cult leaders.
Yeah. He was just the cult leader, yeah.
But yeah, there was a mass suicide.
Correct.
And she was like the only one who didn't kill herself.
Right.
Obviously, shit starts to go down at this lodge.
The kids blame her for the death of their mother.
Right.
For the suicide of their mother.
Yes. Okay, so we'll get into this plot because I want to. So if you want to watch The Lodge, you should stop this now and watch The Lodge. But Ryan, what did you think of The Lodge?
Now, I actually really liked The Lodge.
Yeah?
I like the pacing. which is
the deliberate pacing.
Well, it's a little deliberate. Maybe not. I don't know. Is it overly deliberate? I like overly deliberate. It's really toeing the line for sure.
Yes.
Agree to disagree on toeing the line, but that's all right. Do you know we've watched one of the the director's movies before together?
Yes, and I did not particularly like it because it relied a lot on a twist that I guessed in the first 5 minutes of the film, and that was Good Night, Mommy. I don't know that it was not a poorly made film. I think we may have even done a podcast on it.
It may have been in that dark period where we were not recording stuff.
But I did not particularly care for that film. But yeah, I liked the way this looked. I liked the way it was acted. I liked the pace of the film. I liked the fact that it was not, what's the word I'm looking for?
Good.
Like you don't know exactly what the truth is.
Yeah.
There's an exact term for that, but I can't come up with it right now. So.
Yeah. Sean, without going into the plot just yet, what did you think of the movie?
So I can't say that I liked it.
Ambiguous, I think, is the word I was looking for.
There you go. It Ryan said, it wasn't a poorly made film, and I think I get what the director was trying to do, and I think he did it effectively. I would disagree with you slightly that the pacing was good. I was constantly looking at my phone, looking at my watch. I mean, it took a while to get there. The pacing was almost like a ghost story where I'm like, okay, get there much, much quicker. I'll save it for the plot and everything for later, but it felt like there was almost two different movies here, or they were leaning towards one way and they're like, they got halfway through and they're like, you know what, let's go this way instead. There was stuff with, Alicia Silverstone's character that I thought was going to come more into play later, and I thought it was going to be more of a haunting versus a coming to grips with, or a descent into madness kind of thing. So I thought it was going to go one way, and then it went more this way. I mean, it wasn't at a disservice either way, but it just felt like they were building up to one, and then midway through, they're like, no, we're going to scrap that, and we're going to go this way. So.
Now, just so you know, this was actually directed by two people, Severin Fiala and Veronica Franz, so just to give credit that there are a couple of different directors here, but at first, I really liked what this movie was. And then it got to a point where I thought they were, making it so obvious what had happened, like Good Night, Mommy. Let's get to this part of the plot.
Let's dig into it.
So they get to
now
this,
for sure, there's some spoilers coming up, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
So they get to the lodge, and at some point, the father is called away for business, and he's like, I've got to go back to the town for a couple of days. I'll be back before Christmas. And so he goes, and these kids who do not like Grace, they are kind of stuck with her. And one night they're watching a movie, and this is as soon as this happened, I thought of a joke from Mystery Science Theater.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan, you know the Overdrawn at the Memory Bank episode?
Yes, I do.
In that episode of Mystery Science Theater, they're watching Casablanca a lot, and they make the joke about, never put a good movie in your bad movie. And that's what happens in this night when they're having a movie night and they're watching The Thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to watch a good movie about isolation in the snow, watch The Thing.
Anyway, here we go.
Anyway, the kids are like, oh, I'm cold. And so the son goes to get the space heater, and Grace is even like, oh, is this safe? And he's like, yeah, it'll be fine. And he gives her a drink. So I believe that we're supposed to assume that there was something spiked in the drink. But she drinks the drink, and he starts the space heater. And then she wakes up out in the middle of the snow and she comes back to the house and like all of the food is gone, all of their stuff is gone, the power doesn't work, the phones don't have any kind of charge. And this is when I was like, okay, if this movie is going strictly by the numbers, obviously there was something wrong with the gas heater and they all died and we're just stuck with them dead. And that's when I was like, okay, if they do that, then it's so obvious that I would really just be disappointed by this. Okay. But then they subvert that expectation, which I liked. But then they subverted that expectation so stupidly that I was like, I don't like this anymore. Where the kids who are so angry took all the stuff and hid it in the walls overnight after they drugged her. And somehow they depleted her phone. And then they somehow also, like, we'll bury this picture. That's like a in remembrance picture in the yard because we know that she'll find it. And, oh, look, we have this printer here, so I also printed up this paper of our obituaries. And I was like, they really went through a lot of work, and it seemed really implausible to me.
And, hey, you know what? You know what you shouldn't do? Let's not mess with the girl who has deep psychological issues from being in a murder suicide right. cult and poke the bear and make her go even more crazy.
They kill her dog.
Yes, they let her dog out and let it freeze in this like sub-zero weather outside. I'm like, these kids are dicks. Like, I understand you can be mad about losing your mom, but Grace had nothing to do with that. Like, it was, and I thought Grace actually was very nice. Like, I felt I was empathetic towards her. I was like, she's reaching out. She's trying to be nice. And these kids are just shitting all over
her. To Ryan's defense, there are a lot of good things in this movie. I like the idea of them taking a good person and pushing her to the point like where they break her mentally. Like, I think that's an interesting concept, and I like the way they work through that. It was the part in the middle where I thought it got like a little too dull. But then like it circled back and I thought the ending was pretty strong and has in fact stuck with me.
Right. And I think that's how it was for me, where I understand there was a point when it all comes out and you realize that they have set everything up and you kind of roll your eyes and say, well, this is kind of ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But in the end, I think that they have to set it up that way for the payoff of the film.
Yeah.
And I think about if you're watching any other movie, like if you're watching especially like an action flick or a sci-fi flick, like if you're watching John Wick or one of the Fast and the Furious films and they do something that's over the top ridiculous, you're like, it's a movie.
Right.
But then if you're watching The Lodge and it's like, these two kids could not have conceivably come up with all of this.
And did they do it on
and
the
executed
fly?
It so perfectly.
So,
but this why can't you still just be like, it's a movie?
This is what I'm hypothesizing is that throughout the movie, they keep alluding to like this toy version or like this like dollhouse version of the Lodge, and you see like the son and the brother and sister like always playing in the house and everything. I got the impression that they were devising the plan or they were coming with the plan then. Like when you see them playing with the house and everything like that, I think that they were coming up with the plan then. To like enact it.
Oh, okay. Because there are scenes that, like, even the scene where they bring down the gas heater,
they're all sitting around, like, yeah. They're all, and
they
then
show
like,
that from a playhouse view for a minute.
Yeah. And then, like, when the son, like, hangs himself, like, you've got that in the house as well. Like, it just felt like that was all part of the plan. Like, that's why they kept going back to. Like, they'd go through the dollhouse and, like, show you, okay, here's this same thing that happened. I didn't think it was, like, a premonition. I thought it was just them planning out this horrible revenge they were going to take out on Grace.
But wouldn't it have all predicated on the fact that, like, we hope our dad gets randomly called away?
Right, yeah.
Well, and it may be he always does that. Like, it may be he's constantly going away. Like, that was just never something that they, I guess, really gave you the viewer that much information. But I was like, this dad sucks. Like, he's going to go and leave his kids on Christmas to sit in the house with a woman who, granted, they've been dating, but, like, he obviously didn't know her well enough to not even think about that and, like, not even put it together that she, you know, had been in a suicide cult and she had gone through all this trauma. I mean, obviously, it's not something I don't think anybody would voluntarily say, like, hey, you know, before we, you know, like, before the two-week anniversary here, you know, we've been going out a few times. Just want to let you know that I was 12 years old and, you know, my dad.
But
was
he
part
did
of a cult.
Know all that. He wrote a book about it.
Yeah.
Did
this,
he?
This was the weird thing. Yeah, because, like, the kids mentioned that at one point or something like that. Like, oh that's
yeah,
the girl you
that.
Wrote the book about. So then it was, I thought that was also kind of weird. But
yeah.
Again, like, I think that maybe it was just because there was such a lull. And while I like deliberate a lot of the times, and you mentioned Ghost Story, which I really enjoyed Ghost Story. But there were parts in this movie, like 45 seconds, they would just show you a door. But nothing would happen. The door would not open. Nobody would go in and out of it. It would be like, here's a door. And now let's cut to the exterior.
It's been a while.
But wait, that's also interesting because you like A Tree of Life where there are several doors and they don't do anything with it.
That is
weird.
That is incorrect.
On a beach.
That is incorrect on the door on there. So
no, there's a door on a beach that is just there. So,
I mean, obviously different films. I mean.
I know, I'm just trying to poke the bear.
Oh, but it's not working because I don't think that you understand Tree of Life.
I don't. I still don't understand that movie. That's why I don't like it.
So, again, like, there are really cool parts. And obviously, like, what happens, like, the kids push this woman too far, and she decides that she's going to leave to get help. And they're like, no, you can't go. Like, you'll freeze to death, whatever. Because they've taken all the coats and hidden them, too. So she goes out, she finds another random building where she hallucinates that maybe her father is in that building. And then it's a long walk to get to that building. She knocks on the door and then just leaves that building.
that was the scene that was maybe a little bit too.
Because
long.
I'm like, well,
if
you're like, oh, I need help. I need anything. That door had a big glass window pane. You know what? I think this is an okay time where you could have broken that window to see if there was food or a coat. She's like, nope, I guess I'll just walk back. And at that point, she has had her mental break. And the kids are like, oh shit, we've gone too far. It was us. We did it. You know, here's all the power. Here's all of our stuff. And
it's too late.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
She is, at that point, like,
she's kneeling on a,
like, hot coals.
Piece of, like, firewood. Yeah, like, yeah, it's like, you've officially broken this woman, and you pretty much are going to reap what you sowed on this one, so. And that's why I was kind of like, I don't, now, I'm not condoning what Grace did, but I'm just like, these kids kind of brought it on themselves. Just a touch.
I think that we can, yeah. Look, that's what you get. I mean, again, I don't the father eventually comes back.
Yeah, but right.
She shoots him in the head, and the kids try to escape, but apparently they don't know how to drive a car. So she goes out and gets them, and then the last scene of this movie, which is what really stuck with me. I mean, they did really bring it home, which if I remember Goodnight Mommy, I felt like it was the same way. Like, it had a strong finale.
I don't remember that.
In that one, it's the, you know, the boy sets fire to the house and, like, it's like her just, like, charred remains inside, and it's a pretty visceral ending. But, in this one, she kills the dad, drags him to the kitchen table, sits him up in the chair. Both of the kids are there, and she's putting these, whenever we see flashbacks to the suicide cult, all of the people who killed themselves have duct tape over their mouth that say sin or sinner. I think
sin.
Just sin.
Yeah.
And so the last thing that we see is her putting those, the duct tape that say sin over these kids' mouths. Mm-hmm. Presumably, right. And they're about to die.
Right.
Which...
Presumably.
Yeah. That kind of reminded me, too, of, like, more of, like, framing-wise as far as, like, a Blair Witch ending, where, like, they give you, like, a little piece of it, and then it comes back to play at the end.
I thought it was a little more coherent than that.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, it was the same, like I said, the same framing where you give, like, this kind of story, like, you allude to that's how a murder took place, and then it's like, oh, then it actually comes to fruition at the end. And see, when they started showing, like, the video tape of Grace, like, discovering, or, like, them discovering, like, the bodies of the cult and, like, pulling back the sheets and, like, seeing the sin duct tape over their mouth, that's where I assumed, like, that was going to be what happened with the kids. Like, Grace was going to do this to the kids. I didn't know how they were going to get to it, but I was like, that's where I imagined was going to happen in the end. So I will say that the way that he got there, or the way that they got there, was interesting. I was intrigued to see, like, how they were going to, what path they were going to take. But the one scene that I really liked, or thought was really cool, was that when the kids are escaping and trying to drive away, you see it all from Grace's standpoint. And, like, normally, like, in a horror movie, you would be following the kids, like, as they're frantically trying to get the car going and, like, you know, all the panic and all the kind of chaotic frenzy that goes on with that. But instead of going to them, like, you hear them off screen, and then you see Grace just kind of calmly walking down the steps, you know, kind of lumbering over to the car and, like, making her way. And, like, you get that kind of sense of foreboding dread. Like, you just see, like, the calmness, and then you hear, like, the frenzy going on off screen. I thought that was kind of cool, like, a different way to shoot that scene. Because, like I said, a lot of horror movies probably would have stuck the camera with the kids as they're frantically trying to get away. But I thought it was cool that you focus more on Grace as she kind of, like, you see her just calmly walking to the car.
Let me ask you, Ryan, do you believe this is a horror film? It's kind of, I mean, we might be splitting hairs a little bit, but.
Yeah.
It's more like a psychological thriller.
Yeah, I would, yeah. I think nowadays, a lot of the time, they blur that line between psychological thriller and horror film. I don't know how much I care anymore one way or the other, so.
With the dollhouse in this, it was hard to not think back to Hereditary.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely enjoyed this more than I enjoyed Hereditary.
Oh, hey, there we go, yeah. Then.
I would agree with that.
So, good deal.
And I will say, and
I'll take that as a victory.
Again, maybe it's like in the moment.
Because I did too, obviously.
In the moment, I didn't care for this, but maybe in retrospect, I like the way that they, you know, changed this up on me. Is they did do a very good job of building tension,
mm-hmm.
But in most films, they will give you like the jump scare or something that releases your tension. Like, that's how it works. Like, when they were showing, like, the videotape of, like, the bodies of the cult members, and, like, they're slowly pulling off the sheets, and, like, you know, they'll show someone's face and it says sin, and, like, it's ratcheting up that tension, and you are expecting, like, someone to pull a sheet back and, like, someone to be alive in that jump scare, and they never... Like, they never do that. Like, there's never really a jump.
And right, no, definitely not.
So then you're left, like, just being tense throughout the film, which is, you know, it works for what they're doing, but it's also exhausting to watch a movie that way.
Yeah.
And they did that, too. Like, midway through the movie, they do a shot of, like, the dog kind of reacting to something in the darkness. And then, like, there's a quick cut to the staircase, and you see just, like, the tail end of, like, some kind of white, like, it's either a robe or something like that. Like, you see something was, like, there, but it, like, quickly disappears off screen. So you're kind of like, what was that? And they never, and that's why I thought it was going to go into more, like, a haunting, like, you were going to see, like, Alicia Silverstone's character was going to somehow, like, be haunting Grace or something like that. Like, I thought they're going to play up that a little bit more, but... You know, once she shot herself, like, that was pretty much it. I mean, they still allude to her, like, they miss, you know, they're like, I miss my mommy and everything, but Yeah, I thought there was going to be more, like, I thought that was going to play more into it. And especially they, the kids, like, make this video, like, old video roll of, like, their mom. Like, times when they were, like, making snow angels and stuff like that. So, like I said, it just felt like Grace was, like, constantly trying to escape Alicia Silverstone's character. Or, like, she was, like, kind of always in the shadow of her.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought, like I said, I thought they were going to play that up a little bit more, and they kind of, once they showed that video, they're like, meh, that's enough. Now we're just going to go back into her going crazy.
Yeah. So, the Lodge, you know. I think we're maybe all over on our thoughts on it, but it's, I don't know. I don't know that I would recommend it to a lot of people just because I don't know a lot of people who would necessarily like it. Like, you would be the only person I would recommend it to, Ryan, and you recommended it to us. So, it doesn't work.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough.
But it is in that vein of, like, these new, very slow, quote-unquote, horror films. Like, this would be right at home with your, you know, The Witch and Midsommar and Hereditaries and things like that, where,
but, you know, I'm about 50-50 on liking those.
Yeah, so. And you know, if nothing else, like, this is beautifully shot, and, you know, the house notwithstanding, like, that's a weird point for me, is like, they're like, oh, we love going to this cabin, and when they get there, I'm like, why? This place is, like, creepy as fuck. Like, right. Everything about this cabin
is
unpleasant to look at. Like, the rooms are unpleasant. The area around it's unpleasant. They're like, oh, we've got this weird murder painting. Should we leave it up? Yeah, let's go ahead.
Like, well, it really ties the room together.
It'll haunt your nightmares, but let's leave it up for the kids.
Yeah, for the kids. They liked it.
I mean, a 32-inch TV is all you got? I mean, come on.
What are you, cavemen?
Maybe I want the deleted scenes of the kids, like, you know, okay, we've drugged her, we dragged her out into the snow, now let's grab every single thing in this house and put it behind this wall panel. Like, I want to see that.
See, I like the better that you kind of didn't know that does, well, like, the big reveal that they were plotting this and everything. I mean, you kind of had a suspicion, but, like, when, you know, the kid's hanging and stuff, he's like, no, see, I proved it to you, we're in purgatory, and I thought that was kind of interesting, and then it's like, nah, we're just fucking with her. Like, it's just,
I mean,
it's just a
terrible
prank.
Those are mean kids. Kids are terrible.
Oh, I mean,
not your kid. Your kids.
My kid's actually pretending to hang herself right now, and I'm just ignoring her.
Wow.
JK, guys, my kid's not even home. She's with my fiance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's reassuring.
Yeah.
I have brothers.
Oh, you know what? We haven't even talked about on this episode. It's today Sean's birthday.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy birthday, Sean.
Thank you.
Happy 47th.
Wow, how dare you.
37?
9.
9?
39.
I thought you were so much younger
than
me.
I got 365 until the big 40.
Yeah. Next year. It gets so much worse at 40.
Hell yeah, I'm decrepit right now. For sure.
Sweet. I'm glad I have that to look forward to. Thanks, James.
Yeah, I'm tired all the time.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to go to sleep. Right, it's 8:25. I'm getting ready to go to bed after this.
Oh, no. Don't forget to drink your Ensure.
Right. Will do.
Get a boost for breakfast.
So, yeah, you know, maybe watch The Lodge. I don't know. Maybe watch either of those movies or don't watch either of them. It's tough to say.
I will say, if we're going to talk about things that we have watched, just kind of alluding to.
Yeah.
I did watch Holidate today.
Oh, save it. No. You mentioned that. Save it.
I'm just saying I watched it. You know, it's the holidays and everything like that. So it's the festive time. So I would, we'll talk about it.
Yeah. I don't even want to,
tease it. I'm just,
we've got so many Christmas episodes we have to record. Why are you trying to ruin our own show? You ruin every movie.
I ruined nothing. I just said I watched it. So
good.
I just said
good
talk about
you.
It.
I watched it.
And what is that? You watched it?
I've watched it, yeah.
Okay.
Did you watch that One Royal Holiday? I watched that.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, it's
the Christmas
Prince. Is that a Hallmark
movie?
It is a Hallmark movie. So
do I need to start watching those already?
You know, we're going to record on it. So
how many do I need to watch? Like 9?
No, you need to watch all 47 of them.
No, I think we only like watch like one a piece.
Oh, shit.
Why'd you tell him that? Why did you tell him that? He would have definitely watched 47.
I mean, we can, because we still have a Christmas Chronicles episode to record.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I will tell you, I watched a documentary last night. This is a random thing that Ryan, you would definitely enjoy. And Sean, I think you would enjoy it too. But it's called Electric Boogaloo. And it's the documentary about Canon Films.
Oh, okay.
And if you know, do you know anything about Canon Films? Like, no. they're responsible for like a lot of the schlocky '80s movies and '90s movies, like American Ninja and then Chuck Norris movies and like the like last three Death Wishes, and they've made a bunch of those. Superman 4 and Masters of the Universe.
Boy, Jesus Christ.
And they put out some bangers.
It is a crazy documentary about like these two Jewish men who just came over and like would like go and like draw up a poster of a movie and then sell that to distributors and then take that money and make the movie real fast.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy.
That's how you do it. I mean,
it is.
That seems like a good idea.
Bananas. So definitely worth trying to find. And they are also the ones who made Break-In and Break-In 2.
Right,
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah.
So.
Ozone and Turbo. Turbo and Ozone.
Yeah. Anything else, Ryan? Have you watched anything else lately that sticks out in your head?
I actually watched The Rental. Which is another horror film directed by Dave Franco.
I know.
Yep.
Competently directed by Dave Franco.
Yeah. Also watch that, yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Just throw it in right now.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Simple premise. Yeah. I thought they did a good job with it all.
Yeah.
It was super weird as well. Like, I didn't know what really was going on, and then I was like, is this some kind of analogy for like relationships? And I don't know. It was very interesting. I enjoyed it.
But talk about a movie that really, as we're going to like, you know, Goodbye Mom or Goodnight Mommy and The Lodge, like a movie that really stuck the landing. Like, I thought The Rental really stuck the landing.
I did. Yeah.
Cause you thought it was going one way and then all of a sudden you're like, okay, this is actually what's going on. I was like, okay, yeah. I'm on board. I'm on board.
And I liked it. And then I even liked the credit sequence.
Mm-hmm.
Was pretty good.
Yeah, it reminded me like
it's a different Airbnb.
Yeah,
right. I'm just seeing all these people like show up and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. For Dave Franco, for being like, oh,
for his directorial debut.
Yeah,
that's probably, I guess, I assume. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I liked it. All right. Sean, do you want to try this?
No, I'll let you go ahead and do it.
Okay. Well, Drew, where can they find us? Well, you can find us on our website at comingoffthereels.com, Twitter at offthereels, Instagram, Facebook, comingoffthereels, or you can email us at comingoffthereels@gmail.com. If you have any ideas for shows, please let us know. We would love to hear about them. We are coming up on December, which means we will try and get to several holiday films, including our Hallmark episode. But now with Netflix also making the equivalent of a Hallmark film, I feel like it's like Hallmark and Hallmark adjacent films.
Hulu's got some coming out too.
Yeah. So, you know, be on the lookout for those. If you want to support the show, there's a couple ways to do it. You can go to our website and click on the merch tab. It'll take you to TeePublic, where we have a lot of different items for sale, all of those designed by Roy King, who is not with us today. And if you don't want to do that because, hey, 2020 sucks and we're all low on money, you can do the most important thing, which is to rate and review the show wherever you listen. It's easy. Just click 5 stars. You get on there. You talk about how funny we are, how charming we are.
Insightful.
Oh,
insightful would always be a good adjective
insightful.
To use.
Deliberate. if you feel like the show gets a little slow, it's not slow. It's deliberate. And if you watch The Lodge, let us know what you thought. So
And Borat, if you watch Borat.
Oh, yeah, Borat, the one that probably more people actually watched.
No.
Let us know what you thought of that movie as well. So, until next time, my name is Drew Martin.
And I'm Ryan Vinson.
I'm Sean McClain.
And happy birthday again, Sean.
Thank you, thank you.
This has been Coming Off the Reels.